This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
And if you're wondering why we're not asking you to SMS, that's because they're taking a hell of a long time to get here. I've just got one in that was sent at 7:40 this morning.
Oh, great.
Not really a great deal of use. However, you can phone in and leave a message if you want to put your point of view. 1-300-JOY-949. You can email onair@joy.org.au or you can tweet at Rainbow Reporter or go to the Facebook page, The Rainbow Reporter. Now, before we go to our next guest, I just wanted to say a couple of things. There are a number of organisations that can be of help if you need it. And I have put those details on the blog at rainbowreporter.com, and you can get to that via that The Rainbow Reporter page on Facebook. But just to briefly visit those, you've got Headspace, which has information service and support for young people from 12 to 25, and you just Google Headspace and you'll find them. You could always get in touch with Beyond Blue. They have a youth section as well, youthbeyondblue.com. There's also the Kids Helpline, which is kidshelp.com.au, or 24 hours a day, you can call 1-800-55-1800. That's really easy to remember. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Kids Helpline, 1-800-55-1800. And a topic we haven't really touched upon and we're not really going to have a lot of time for today, workplace bullying. You contact WorkSafe at worksafe.vic.gov.au/bullying if you're having trouble with workplace bullying. I just wanted to put those numbers out there before we went on to our next guest. Now, we know that when it comes to mental health, prevention's a million times better and a heck of a lot cheaper too than a cure. Try and prevent the pain and damage from happening in the first place. The Alana Madeline Foundation was set up in memory of two girls killed in the Port Arthur massacre, and its principal aim is the protection of children. And with this in mind, they've developed a cyber safety program for schools called eSmart. Mandy Ross is the Senior Cyber Safety Officer at the Alana and Madeline Foundation, and she joins us now. Good afternoon, Mandy.
Good afternoon, Doug. Hello, Rob. Hello, Zoe.
Hi.
Mandy, how are you?
Now, thank you. First of all, just give us a rundown as to what eSmart is.
Well, you're absolutely correct. The Alana and Madeline Foundation's vision is that every child can grow up in a safe and supported environment without being subject to any violence. And we know that the most common form of violence that young people face is, in fact, bullying. We know that Australian research indicates that 1 in 4 young people are bullied face-to-face and 1 in 10 are cyber-bullied. So with that in mind, the Alana and Madeline Foundation has developed, along with other leading experts from industry and government, the eSmart program. eSmart's a world-first initiative that basically gives schools a roadmap to develop a whole school approach to bullying, cyberbullying, and cyber safety.
Now, this is something, Rob was earlier on talking about Martin Dixon, who's the Victorian Education Minister. He's a supporter of this program, isn't he?
Absolutely. The Victorian Department of Education and Early Childhood Development, along with the Queensland Department of Education, have in fact supported and funded the rollout of eSmart in government schools and 300 Catholic and independent needy schools over the next 3 to 4 years. So we're absolutely ecstatic here about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's always good to have the politicians on side, isn't it, Rob?
Yeah, Mandy, now I'm just... and I'm assuming you'll sort of tell us in a minute what sort of how this actually looks at the school. So I presume you've got kits and so on, and you have somebody turn up at the school, and is it a combination of professional development and actually talking to the kids, or?
Yeah, that's right. So yeah. eSmart aims to make cyber safety a normal part of every young person's life, and how it practically does that on the ground is that a school registers for eSmart and they get log into a secure site where they get access to best practiced research tools and resources. And what the eSmart program looks at. It helps schools develop policies and practices.
Yep.
So there's a real framework for what for best practice culture and behaviour within a school, and that those policies don't sit on a shelf somewhere along with sort of another 32 others, that in fact they're living and breathing, and that
Absolutely.
Students and parents have a say in what goes into those policies. So
now, can I just stop? Sorry, Mandy. That. Mandy, can I just stop you there? I'm a parent of a student, and it's a strong Catholic school because I'm a strong Catholic and I want them a strong Catholic upbringing. And so you're the educator and you turn up at the school and you say, blah, blah, talk about bullying and so on, you shouldn't do that. And as part of that, and I presume this is in your best practice framework and materials and so on, talks about sexual orientation. And you say, along the way, and I'm paraphrasing here because I'm a cattle farmer and I'm a bit dumb, but we say something along the lines of, look, you shouldn't abuse kids on the basis of their sexual orientation because calling them poofter and lesa and everything else, you know, turns their mental health to shit, and we're trying to fix all that. Now, and so the kids go, oh, okay, you know, I won't call someone so poofed, I won't call Lizzo. Then they go home and they say, oh, we had this really nice lady, Mandy, she's gorgeous. And she said, you know, and she said, I can't call someone so poofed her anymore. And I go, as a strict Catholic parent, oh, okay. Now tell me what happens from there on.
Well, there's 2 points that I'd actually like to address, Rob. Firstly, the eSmart initiative is a framework. So every school jurisdiction, whether you're government, Catholic or independent, bring their own values to the program. So the framework is flexible enough for that particular school to insert its own values, its own messaging, its own culture. So if students and yes. parents would be involved in setting up what happens at that school, right. normal behaviour at that school.
Mandy, can we just go back to the values bit? Because the Catholic Church says that people who are gay are intrinsically disordered, so that's part of their value system. So how are we going to reconcile that with good mental health for our young people and reducing their rates of depression if, for example, it's a strict Catholic school?
We actually, at the Alana and Madeline Foundation, work with a variety of schools here, and we have a great relationship with the Catholic office, both in Victoria and different Catholic offices around the country. And there's many Catholic schools that are doing some really progressive work in the area of both bullying, cyberbullying, and other e-security risks online.
Mm-hmm. Like Geelong Grammar are doing some great work. Yep.
But and that's fantastic, and we're the progressive, and ditto with the progressive Jewish community. We haven't got a problem there. But where they've got the sort of orthodox or very conservative framework sitting there, what do we do about that?
The framework, I mean, it's not prescriptive, so it allows different resources to come into the school. So what we would be suggesting to the school there is to get sort of a community view, what that community values and the mass value in that community, and then pushing that through into the school culture.
So you wouldn't necessarily directly address the issue of same-sex attracted children?
Yeah.
Well, that would be in the framework, and we would give them best practice evidence-based research and evidence-based resources and evidence-based tools. We can give them the best practice advice and resources that we have available.
But they don't necessarily take it.
And then it's up to the leadership team within that school to address the issues that school's facing.
Yeah, so it's up to them to ignore it if they wish to.
Yeah, I mean, the program is brilliant. It was piloted in 150 schools around the country. It helps them with their policies. It helps them with resources. It helps them upskill teaching staff. So technology's not looked at as a negative issue,
Mandy.
But how can it actually be embedded in the classroom to engage and empower young people? It creates opportunity for peer mentoring, which is something that some of your other guests have been discussing this afternoon. It encourages schools to provide positive uses of the technology. It reduces the digital divide between parents and young people.
Mandy, I'm really interested in the technology that gets used within the classroom and, you know, obviously helping people to filter out words and terminology and those sorts of things. Is that the sort of thing that an internal tool, is there an internal tool that's like that for the school so that they can actually pick up?
There's lots of different internal tools that schools can use, and that's normally set at administrator level. So, one, the State Education Department has policy and protocol on what our schools can access, and then same again with independent and Catholic schools.
So, again,
you can also have virus protection software, and as well as all of those measures, it's really about educating young people about what's safe online. So, if they do see something that's inappropriate, whether it's in school or outside of school, where a lot of this does occur as well, who to go to for help, what they can report, and how to best protect themselves and their digital footprint online.
Yeah, there's one thing. Just got a message in here from Blair, who is a psychologist. He says, "Hi guys, children who are enrolled in public schools can speak to their teacher or assistant principal and make a referral to student support services to access a psychologist or social worker if they're experiencing difficulties like bullying and so on. But isn't it the case that children find it really difficult to do that? Does being eSmart help them do that by giving them tools to
absolutely report? So the eSmart initiative, one of the first things that a school does when it registers is sets up an eSmart committee. Now on that committee there's obviously leadership within the school. If a school psychologist is available, they're on the committee. A school police liaison officer would be on the committee, as well as students and perhaps a parent representative, and they become the steering committee for embedding positive school culture regarding to technology within that school, and that really is the driving force behind making this high on the agenda within the school. So perhaps within the first 6 months there's a lot of planning, and then they start to implement these policies and practices. Students start to get access to best practice resources, and teachers are upskilled in the same breath, and then technology is a real sort of normal force within the classroom. And everybody is more well-equipped with tools and resources to deal with the problem.
Well, thanks for all that, Mandy. Obviously, it's like so many other tools. It's as good as the use it's put to. Thanks very much for joining us this afternoon. We're going to have to call it a day there because we're running out of time. But thanks very much for your contribution.
Thanks so much for having me. If anybody wants any more information about it, they can go to www.esmartschools.org.au.
Thanks, Mandy.
Yeah, and I've put the link up on my website as well.
No so, problem.
That was Mandy Ross there, the incredibly perky Mandy Ross there from the Alana and Madeline Foundation. As I just said there, we were saying goodbye. It's one of those things that it sounds like an extremely good initiative. It's been very well thought out and put together, but it's what you put into it. It's like everything else. What you put into it governs what you get out of it. And if you don't actually have the gay and lesbian issue there up front and centre, is it going to get included? I mean, Daniel Whithouse on his tour around Australia last year was saying roughly 50% of all bullying in the school, cyber or otherwise, is homophobic.
So you
can't ignore that.
Exactly. And there's no obligation there to actually comply, unless there is that obligation to comply.
Well, exactly.
You can block words like gay, for instance, on your computer.
Okay. Yeah. Well, before we go, there's one more thing I just want to say something about, and that is, you may have noticed there was that ghastly rally for marriage, or don't muddle with marriage, or whatever, don't marry muggles, or whatever it was called.
Don't marry muggles.
at Parliament House the other day, at which the rather appropriately named Rebecca Haglin from the US said that it won't stop at homosexual marriage. Look for polygamy in marriage between adults and children. There is no greater dream for a pedophile than to be able to legally claim a child as his lover. That's apparently what they think of us. Now, Get Up, you may have heard of Get Up. I've got a petition together to tell your MP that you don't agree with that. So please, please, please get onto the Get Up website, sign that petition, let your MP no.
Yes.
Okay, and I'm afraid that's it for this week. My thanks to Mandy Ross, cyber safety expert from the Alana and Madeline Foundation, to Jay, who's being bullied, Professor Marilyn Campbell from the National Centre Against Bullying, Dr. Lynn Hillier of Safe Schools Coalition, and of course, Joy's own Zoe Warwick here with me in the studio, and Rob Mitchell, trenchant as always. Thanks also to producer Victoria Latou, and our tech wizard today, who was Keza. Please like the Rainbow Reporter page on Facebook, where you'll find all the links to the blog and everything else. Podcasts will be up via joy.org.au, and I'll see you the same time next week when Kes has finished telling me to wind up in a hurry with another Rainbow Report.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy. a diverse sound for a diverse community.